Larry, grateful recovering food addict. And this is probably my fifth time sharing at the Thankathon, which I love. I can't think of any other place I'd rather be today, except at my daughter's, when we finish here. This is my springboard, this meeting here. And I was told to say whatever I felt like, huh? Okay. well, some of my food just back a long ways. I don't remember. My grandmother and mother used to tell me that I used to carry a bottle around in my back pocket, and it was a bottle of tea with lots of sugar in it, and it was filled up all throughout the day and into the evening. So sugar and caffeine from the start, hello. Yeah, plenty of it. And I think I was 3, 4, 5 years old when I was doing that, you know. But like I say, I have no recollection of it. But I remember as a young boy spending a lot of time in the kitchen with my mother. First, let me clear that up a little bit. First of all, it was a dysfunctional family. My father was an alcoholic. And he beat 2 people, my mother and the second son, me. And I was the one he decided to lock in closets. I'm still claustrophobic to this day, you know. But what I tried to get out of my mother was she did a lot of baking, and I did the cleaning up. I loved it. I had a spatula, and after she took out of the bowl, I took out of the bowl, you know. But that wasn't the love of my life, although I did that, I think, every day. The love of my life was grease. Oh, God, did I love grease. Something could be cooked in a frying pan and go on my plate and pour it over my starch. And later on, I had a bypass surgery from something like 65 years ago. Like I say, the grease, yeah. I like the smell of it, the taste of it, everything about it I liked. And it was crazy then. But, you know, I didn't put on weight. I didn't put on weight till I was married. Because I had a 29-inch waist till a long, long time. And I get up to a 40-something waist. 40, how much, I don't know. You know, but it was 40-something. Because I carried all my weight right here. And that brings up a little interesting thing. I was at the VA during one of my many visits over there, and Joni was at a school 3 blocks away, and I was going to meet her after work. And it was winter time, and I had this hooded jacket on, but I could only button the top button, and it came like this. So these 3 youngsters came along and wanted to know how long was I pregnant. Well, you know, I thought of that. And if I was pregnant to 3 teenagers, I must look like hell. You know? And truthfully, I did. I looked like hell. Like I say, out here, all the way. So I was telling Johnny about it afterwards, but I decided to push it to the back of my mind, like with all other stuff, or push it down with the food, or whatever. But even as a teenager, I had problems with food, but I didn't put on weight because I was smoking, drinking, and eating, and doing all 3 to excess. So I did a lot of throwing up. Almost immediately I'd throw up. So the weight didn't go on. In fact, I think I was underweight, you know? And, oh dear. Yeah, like I say, I don't know which was my trigger. The nicotine, the caffeine, the alcohol, the food in general, or what? Just said, do one, you do the rest. You just couldn't do one without the other. I just had to have it. And let me see. I was 21 when I got married. Joan was 19. We had gone together 5 years before that. And one of the best things I ever did, you know. But that's when my disease kicked off. Joni made lunches like this, and I went to all the machines that were on the job quite often. And even though I was doing hard, laborious work, I started putting on the weight, slowly but surely. In fact, I ate myself up to 263 pounds. And I was going from 155. I had a lot of medical problems. Some before I commit the program, some after the program. But I had emphysema before the program, as I was smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Imagine what that would cost nowadays. Yeah. I'd have to stop then. But 4 packs a day gave me emphysema, and the way I was eating gave me diabetes. And like I talked about the grease, well, this finally came into plan, and I ended up getting a quintuple bypass and came out of it 100%. But the surgeon said, if I didn't take off that 120 pounds, he never would have done it. I wouldn't have been a candidate for surgery. I'd have been a candidate for the undertaker, you know. But let me see where my diabetes is. After coming into program, they found out I had bladder cancer, and it was operated on in stage 1, and it's been clean for 6 years now. I do lose track of myself when I get up here at times, but that's okay, you know. I watched Joni come into program, and I didn't understand what she was doing. I didn't know what she was looking for or not, because we were buddies, eating buddies, and we ate 5 times a day plus. And in fact, I'd get up during the night, sometimes 2-3 times, and get down, take a tablespoon, just start eating out of the refrigerator. Didn't matter what it was. It's immaterial to what it was. I'd eat until I hurt, and then I'd go back to bed. Digest a little bit, get on, do it again. And I could truthfully say, every minute that my eyes were open, I was feeding my face. I was. But one of the times I liked the best were holidays. Oh, my God, did I love holidays. Johnny would do most of the cooking. I'd do some of it. But I did all the cleaning up. Every bit of cleaning up. Everything came back to Larry in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I already had a big meal. Now I'm starting into my long trail meal, you know. It's going to take me from supper time till everyone else goes to bed. And thank God for Ziploc bags, I'm telling you. I could put my stuff in these and hide them in the freezer, or depending on what it was, put them up in the cabinet. And that was mine for later. Absolutely. I had to have that when I got up during the night. That was the one time that I knew what I was going to eat. All the other times, I had no idea, you know. But this eating during the evening caused me to have interrupted sleep, and it didn't help the depression that I had been building for a number of years, say from about when I was 16. But I was seen at an early age for depression, too. I think I was about 18 or 19. That was for a few months or so. But, you know, when I came on the program October 10th, 1993. And thank you, God, I've been absent since then. I have no problem with the food plan, none whatsoever. We worked the food plan together. We put up food for 7 days, sometimes rice for 12 days and whatever. So what I'm getting at is, supper time would come around and I don't have to take some scratch and make everything. Because if I did, I'd do what I did before. I'd start eating it out of the frying pan before it was cooked. And then pour the grease on something else and have it. But I don't do that today. And get back to my wife now coming into program. I thought it was a gift because I could eat 5 days a week while she was at work. I had a heart attack by then. 5 days a week while she was at work, 3 days a week at her meetings, once at an AWOL, and I don't know what the hell else she went out for. But I was glad. I could cook whatever I want, clean it up, put it away. No one knew the difference. The only thing was, we had certain foods in the house for the grandchildren. And the brown stuff in a jar. And I would go through that. Oh, God, would I go through that. Johnny would look for it. Well, the grandkids were over, you know. I know she knew they weren't over, you know. But she made one mistake in putting away the stuff for the kids. She told me where it was. That was a mistake, you know. Because I just took full advantage of it, you know. And I put it back where it was. And I tried to dig out the center of things and whatever, make not look as bad as it was, but I didn't have too much success with that. You know, I heard people talking about eating a colty from the bottom and leaving the top there, but I didn't have that skill. You know, I just pigged through it, you know. And like I say, Johnny was out at all these meetings and whatever, and started being on the phone, and I noticed she was becoming very happy, smiling, going about doing what she had to do, and she had already put us on notice that she wasn't cooking anymore for us, but that's her story. And didn't bother me because Johnny showed me how to cook. So I became quite good at it, you know. But like I say, all this time away from the house and me doing what I'm doing, I was killing myself in so many ways. I mean, I was hooked up to an oxygen machine. I had a medicated nebulizer. I had my caffeine, my nicotine, and my protein. And this was on and on throughout the day. There was no stop. I can't say as I had a real meal at this time because a meal just went into another meal. There was just no defining a breakfast, lunch, or supper. It was just a meal, you know. And a meal that I didn't want to stop. I didn't know how to stop. And I can remember going to church a couple of different times, and the crucifix would be hanging up, oh, about three-quarters of the way down the church from the ceiling. And I would stand there and curse him and ask him why, demand of him, why did he allow me to do some of the things I did, you know? And I didn't take blame for him at the time. I just felt that he had let me down, and if he were in my corner, I wouldn't have committed suicide, which obviously he had a plan for me because I'm still here today. Okay, also, I wouldn't have committed a murder. Not at all. No, sir, not at all. But with the food, the nicotine, the alcohol, I was capable of anything, unfortunately. And I used to, as a young child, I used to say to myself, boy, when I get married, I'll never beat my wife. And I'll never do this and I'll never do that. Well, I ended up doing everything my father did except beat my wife. So it was hard to plan to know what was going to evolve or revolve the next month or the next year or whatever. I thought of what could happen to me with the oxygen machine and whatever, but only for a minute, that's all, you know. And I heard on TV after getting abstinent, one was a guy, one was a woman. They had the same kind of setup I did, except they lit their cigarette before they took the oxygen out of their nose. They're not here anymore. That could have been me. Could have been the rest of the family with me when the thing blew. But there again, I had gotten my corner so many, many ways, so many times, and I wasn't aware of it. I was there, and I was too blind to it, you know. It's like my evil side was taking over, you know. And I finally got to a point where I asked Joni, could I eat what she ate? And she said, sure. So there was two absent meals coming out at breakfast, lunch, and supper. And I would eat the three abstinent meals and everything in between. Everything, you know? And I thought I was doing program, my understanding of program anyway. You know, I heard nothing about eating in between meals. But After about 3 months, Johnny couldn't figure why I wasn't losing weight. I know why I wasn't losing weight, you know. But finally I told her, and I think I waited another month, and I asked her, could I go to program with her? So we did. There was St. Luke's Friday night with a squeaky floor in Chelsea, you know. Some of you people know it. And I was kind of overwhelmed with the amount of people there. There wasn't a vacant seat, but people were coming up, holding their hands out, and here's how I greeted everyone, just like this. You weren't going to touch me, and the second part of that is my evil's not going to rub off on you, you know. So it took a long, long time to be able to drop my arms, shake hands, take a hug, give a hug, and not feel so fragile and intimidated by people. Now I show up for things. I show up for everything. Birthdays, circumcisions, Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day, whatever. I'm there. I want to be there. Whereas before, I would be someplace else. Maybe in the same house, but I'd be someplace else. I wouldn't be where what was going on. And what's going on with me? And bit by bit, I guess I came back into society. I came back into the family. The family never left me. I left them. And for the first 90 days, I always had my hand up for literature. Someone told me that it's the shortest tool. That's why I did it. I have no idea if it's the shortest tool or not. It's just the one I liked. It got so that in Chelsea, when they'd say literature, they'd look right over at me, and my hand was up anyway, fine. But it's one of those things where you're expected to do it because you've done it like 100 times, so you do it. But I couldn't wait till I had an opportunity to share. And it wasn't sharing, actually. I led the Mets at 10 o'clock meeting at that time. There was only one meeting. And I saw so many people out there. I picked a spot back on the wall, and I stared at that spot till I was through talking. I had to, you know. It was like, but it was good. I've spoken it many times since then, and it's still good, you know. I got very active in program, setting up chairs, opening up the building, putting out the literature, things that needed to be done. I had my hand up, and I still do today. Meetings I go to, I do some kind of service at every meeting, you know. It's like we go to the senior center. Life besides program is great now. It took me a couple of years to get into that, too. Sober, abstinent. At the senior center, we're there 3 days a week for bingo. We eat before we go there, you know. And sometimes if it's an affair, we bring our food with us and eat while they're eating. And everyone says, God, where'd you get that? I'm Johnny's. I said, no, I'm Joni's, you know. So, like I say, 3 days a week for bingo. One day a week for art class, doing it 2 days a week for water aerobics, 2 days a week for regular aerobics. So we don't have any downtime, bad downtime, you know, like watching the boob tube for 3-4 hours. We don't do that. There's too much to do. And at the, and I'm coming up 72, and I'm going to try to do a lot, you know. When I'm at the senior center, I pick up stuff when people are through with it and whatever. No one asks me, I just do it. Because I can't see sitting down for 3 hours. I would have a numb bum, and I don't want that, you know? So I take their empty coffee cups, bring them coffee or tea, what they wanted, whatever you want to do at breaks with the sweet substances. I put them all on the tray and bring them into the kitchen. And this I just wanted to do, you know, and I did it. And, I think program, outside of program, I have a full life now, a very full life. There's no more do I wake up in the morning and say, oh, shit, I'm still alive. Now I wake up and say, thank God I'm alive. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye.